would you? You're doing a great job. Just continue. Just magnify Him.
Glory to you. We love you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We love you,
Lord.
Wonderful you are, Father.
Wonderful,
wonderful.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said, the same witness that you have inside of you, that I said cannot lie and bears witness of the truth. It's the same witness that resounds further than any argument of this world or any ability to articulate with the mind the trust and faith that you have for me against any argument from the sinner. So know this, that even as that place continually testifies of my grace within you, that it is also testifying of a homecoming that is scheduled, saith the Spirit of Grace. But they say, these things have always been said. No, not by those who knew. For they said, those days will not come to pass except that man which exalteth himself above all rises up in that holy place, and whosoever readeth, let him understand. So know this, that the same witness that bears witness within you is witnessing these things, that the bride and the groom shall soon become one,
hallelujah,
saith the Spirit of Grace. So so do not be as those foolish virgins who waited out the dispensations, saying, another time I'll grow close, another time I'll fight the battle, another time will come in which I'll awaken out of my sleep and run and not be weary. Know this, trim the lamp now, fill the oil now, worship me now, and gather unto you all those that you call loved ones, and worship me for their salvation, and none will be lost, saith the Spirit of Grace.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you,
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
We're having something quite. Melody, why don't you come? Stand wherever you're at, everybody. Melody, come and tell us what's going on over there. I know you didn't expect this. There's something really good happening every Sunday over there with our kids. Just tell us a little bit about what's happening. She's wondering, what are you getting up here to prophesy or what?
Just the past, I think, 3 or 4 months, we've been changing the way that we teach the kids next door. I mean, you know, traditionally you go in and you have a Bible story and you sing a couple songs and you have a coloring page, and those stories are important, and every child should go to Sunday school and know David and Goliath and the Israelites and know what God has done in their life. But there's also a level, just like in here, where we are reaching a new level through intercession and through confession and worship, and it should begin over there.
Amen.
It shouldn't begin when we're 30 and 40 and 50 years old. It should begin when we're 3, 4, and 5
Hallelujah.
Years old. And so over there, we will, after we have praise and worship here, we will go over there and we will have praise and worship for another 30 minutes and we will just sing to the Lord. And I mean, we don't even want to stop. I know with Maria, she will have worship the entire time. And the kids, they just want to sit there and they just want to worship the Lord and they want to praise Him and they want to tell Him how much they love Him. And last week when I was over there, we were worshiping the Lord and we just sing a simple song that, I love you, Lord, and God is so good.
Hallelujah.
And God is love, and you know, Jesus, I love you, and I just tell him over and over again how much that you love Him, how much you worship Him and you adore Him and you praise Him, and it is amazing. They just sit there, and I open my eyes at one time and they're just raising their hands and they're praising Him and they're worshiping Him, and
Hallelujah,
it's not a show.
Jesus.
I mean, they don't know how to put on a show. They're
Amen.
6 and 7 years old, and so they're just worshiping Him. And then last week we wanted to focus on prayer, so after we had worship, we sat down, and I 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I don't even know how long, but we were in a circle and we were talking about who we can pray for. And at first they were hesitant, you know, they said, you know, they didn't know, but by the end it was, they were naming every country they could think of, every state they could think of, every animal they could think of, every person they could think of, and they just wanted to pray for, and they said, we can pray for them, and we can pray for them, and we can pray. I mean, they, it was just like they became alive. Jesus. I mean, their spirits are wakening up over there, and it's just an overflow of what's happening here, and we're getting it at us, and now we're bringing it next door, and you're going to see, I mean, your kids, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, they say things that I wouldn't even think of, you know, I mean, just of all the things that the Lord has put in their hearts, and so be watching them, because there is a change coming, and it's going to burst, and it's going to overflow. Hallelujah. And you're going to see something different.
Hallelujah.
Over there.
Jesus.
We're going to start teaching them prayers that they can start praying, prayers that they can get in themselves, like Ephesians 3:16-19 right now is what we're focusing on, about, you know, understanding the love of Christ, the breadth, the depth, the height, everything about that, because if they can get that on the inside of them, there is nothing that's going to stop them, because they don't know anything different. And so it's just awesome what the Lord is doing over there.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Plamondon boys, they're playing over there. That's where they're starting their gig.
They'll be doing thousands. Worship team.
Hallelujah, we got an awesome.
We do. We have our own worship team. Harry and Robert, they got the piano and the guitar. And I mean, they'll just sit there and they'll just play softly, you know, just like we do over here. And the kids will just continue to worship and to speak and just have that atmosphere. I mean, that atmosphere is just full and filling that place. So yeah, Harry and Robert are doing an awesome job. Thank you.
Hallelujah,
this
Jesus.
Is our own worship team. And Aurelia, too.
Hallelujah. Did you just pray over our kids and where we're headed? In fact, okay, solve this. So all the, if you might have to help them, moms, and, okay, because they might be too bashful, and some of them might be over there, but saw all the little ones standing up here. Can we do that?
Hallelujah.
Come on, JC.
Yes, hallelujah.
JC turned 11 yesterday.
Amen.
While the rest of them are coming.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear JC. Happy birthday to you.
Hallelujah. So there's usually a lot more, and there'll be some of them are all over there, but.
They're still sitting back down.
Let's get them.
Come up.
Let's get them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're ministers of the gospel, come on. Hallelujah. These guys aren't little, but they're the ministry.
Yep.
So come on and turn around this way. Have them face this way. If you could. Nana and Tia, if you could bring them around this way where they're facing us. Okay. Yeah, good. And little. Okay. So all of you stretch your faith this way.
Praise you, Jesus.
I glorify you. Go ahead, Melody, and just pray over these, but where we're headed in the children's ministry.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just love you and we praise you so much. You said in your word for us to come like a child. And what better influence, what better example is to see an actual child come before you, Father God, so we can see the realization of what it really is to come like a child, so innocent and so pure and so believing and having such great faith, Father. So, Father, that's what I pray over these kids right now, Father God. I thank you that you have blessed them to be here. I thank you that you have called them at this time to be raised up in a church in this way, Lord Jesus, so they can understand your love, so they can understand your power without any hesitation, without any reservation, Lord God. I just praise you and I thank you that the power is going to come, your power is going to come onto them more than they can ever imagine. There's going to be something rising up on the inside of them that they won't even know how to explain it. They won't even know what to do or what is coming out for them, but they just know that it is of you and they're just going to go forth. They're going to go forth and they're going to proclaim your gospel. gospel
Hallelujah,
to every
Jesus.
Person that they meet. Every person
Hallelujah,
they touch
Jesus.
Will not be influenced by you, Father God, but
Hallelujah.
They will be influenced and their lives will
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Significantly change, Lord God. I just praise you and I thank you
Hallelujah.
That your love is rising up
Hallelujah,
on the inside
Jesus.
Of them, that nothing that is going to come against them will stop them from doing Hallelujah. What you have called
Hallelujah.
Them to do, because they are your children.
Yes,
they Lord. Are being raised up in the way that you want them to be raised up. They are set here.
Yes,
they are
Jesus.
Set here, Lord Jesus. I just
yes,
praise you
Jesus.
And I thank you that
yes,
their
Jesus.
Feet will not falter from the path
yes,
that you
Jesus.
Have called them from.
Yes,
Father
Jesus.
God, I just praise you and I thank you that
yes,
nothing,
Jesus.
Nothing will ever
yes,
come
Jesus.
Against them. They
yes,
are right
Jesus.
Now protected
you,
in
Jesus.
Your
Hallelujah,
in your
Jesus.
Sight, in your vision,
yes,
Lord
Jesus.
God, and
yes,
nothing
Jesus.
Else is going to come against
yes,
them because
Jesus.
They are setting their eyes on you.
Yes,
they are
Hallelujah,
setting
Jesus.
Their gaze upon you
Hallelujah,
and nothing
Jesus.
Is going to come against
Hallelujah,
them, Father
Jesus.
God.
Yes.
They are enveloped
oh,
in your love
Jesus.
And wherever
Hallelujah,
they go,
Jesus.
They go to school, they go to the playground. It doesn't matter, Father God.
Thank
they're going to start
Father.
Revival wherever
yes.
they are.
Hallelujah.
They're going to start getting people healed. They're going to be the ones going
Hallelujah.
To the hospitals because
Hallelujah,
they have
Jesus.
Such great faith.
Hallelujah,
they have
Jesus.
They're just going to go up there and they're going to know
Jesus.
That you're going to do it, Lord Jesus. And I just praise you and I thank you that they're going to touch
you.
Someone and the anointing that comes from you is
yes,
going to flow
Jesus.
Through their body
yes,
and they are going to heal.
You,
the blind will see, the
yes,
deaf
Lord.
Will hear, the lame
yes,
will
Jesus.
Walk, Father God.
Yes,
everything
Lord.
That you
oh,
said
Hallelujah.
In your word begins right
yes,
here.
Jesus.
Begins when they are two, when they are
yes.
three, when they are four,
yes.
when they are five, when they are six, seven, eight, nine, and ten, Father God. It does
Jesus.
Not stop, but it just
nine
continues.
So
and just imagine,
Jesus.
Father God, how much is going to grow. If they get this in them right now, Father God, by the time
Lord.
That they are 30 and 40 and 50,
yes.
the impact that they're going to have, because there
Jesus,
is nothing,
Jesus,
nothing in this
Jesus,
world that they're going to see that is going to just, they're going to be, I don't care.
Yes,
that's
Jesus.
What the Lord says. That's what is in his word. That's what's in my heart.
Yes.
And that's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
You are healed. Rise
yes.
up and walk. You
yes.
are not dead.
Yes.
You are
Hallelujah.
Alive.
Hallelujah.
So Father, we just praise you and we thank you that we continue.
Hallelujah,
as adults,
Jesus.
We take on that responsibility as well. We know that it
yes.
is our example and our influence
yes.
and the teaching that we give them, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So I just praise you and I thank you that you give us the strength and we continue
Hallelujah,
to teach them
Jesus.
Next door and raise up more
yes,
people,
Lord.
Father God. Raise up their
you,
their
Jesus.
Mothers and their fathers and
yes,
their aunts
Jesus.
And their uncles
Man's
and everyone Lord, that's surrounding Jesus. Them, because Father, we know that that's what comes against them to stop them.
Jesus.
It's not usually something on the outside, but it's something that's close to them. So Father, we guard our mouth
yes,
and we guard
Lord.
Our
yes.
hearts and
Hallelujah.
We say what you want us to
yes,
say
Jesus.
So that we will not stop anything that
Jesus.
You have of them. And we just praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah,
Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Powerful. It's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, absolutely. You guys can do whatever you
share a dream that I had. I woke up to yesterday morning.
Yes.
I dreamed that we were at like a retreat when there was a lot of teenagers all around.
Jesus.
And I was noticing that they were teenagers, but then there were some young adults, like in their 20s, like 22, 23. And I began to recognize them as being kids that have been brought up in the church here. And they were playing this game. And me and Bronk were walking around, and a lot of us were there. We were there at this retreat helping with these young adults and kids. And they were playing this game where they were taking a butterfly that was just like an embroidered butterfly. And they were like passing it like a baton. And it was like they were taking it to the person and they were putting it on them and saying, tag, you're it. And that person had to release in them the worship, an intimacy that they share by themselves alone with the Lord. And it was so beautiful that us adults, we began to weep, because there was a couple that have been raised up in the church that are not here anymore. And the Lord, when I woke up from the dream, I just had to pray for them, two young people. But those two young people in the dream were, when they were given the butterfly, I guess the butterfly represented being free, but the most beautiful worship came out of this young lady, and you could not imagine who it was. You wouldn't be able to believe it, but she began to worship God in a way that just melted our hearts and our spirits, and we just like crumbled. As she began to worship, as she did what she was doing around a little campfire and doing her little things that she was doing, she began to just sing. But it was so mesmerizing. You just be drawn to her. And everybody in the group would just get closer and closer to listen to her. And then after she got done, she went to another young man who was very shy in the natural. But it was his turn, and she went out, she picked this person, she gave it to him. And so he's like, okay, if you want me to do this, I will, but I sure don't want to. But he had an intimacy with God that we didn't know about. And he began to worship God and sing. And when he did, it was like we were just astonished. But because of what we're doing this morning, praying for these kids, it made me realize, well, I thought this yesterday morning when I woke up, we've been speaking it, saying it, drawing them in. And we all know how we've been having our prayers answered and how that what we say is really what we're getting. So be careful what you ask for. When we believe in our hearts, these kids are being raised up, and they're going to be just like the other ones in the dream, but they really are coming back in. Hallelujah. Those that have strayed out, they really are coming back in. And so I believe the Lord gave me that dream just so that I could pray more for a few of the young people that he had laid on my heart in that dream. But it was beautiful, and I know that this is the Lord this morning for the kids too, because they're being raised up the same way like when we were in Sunday school teaching them. When I was over there, you couldn't pull me out of there. I wanted to stay with the kids. But it's the same thing being repeated. Another generation is coming in, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to walk in this worship and into this intimacy with God also.
Hallelujah, Jesus. It was dark, and we were riding down the road yesterday early in the morning and headed somewhere. Candy was sharing that. She said, I woke up to this. And in fact, she told me while we were getting ready and get in the car, and I knew it was from God. We see, I was breaking down over there because I knew his heart. I could feel his heart. Do you see those kids sometimes, and you see anybody in particular, but especially he's hallmarking these kids right now, young adults. Do you think sometimes that they've lost all that has been covered up by the flesh and by the world and mostly by hurt? But I could see that the heart of the Father, he just looks at people so much different. He sees them in all of everything that he is with inside of them. And so I could see his heart, and I saw what he saw, that he just sees them still as intimate worshipers with so much that they want to give and so much that they have to give. And so much to be expressed, and still their hearts are with him, but they need to be freed. And that's where we as intercessors, we have a big part to say in this. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, why don't we say it together? I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. And those that have gone away, they come back home with no fear. No intimidation. Just acceptance. I call them free. I call them free. Father God, help me to see them as you see them. Without religion affecting my mind. Without condemnation and judgment affecting my heart. I see them as you see them. Free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a 101-mile radius. I found out from somebody Friday night that the Kansas City people they're confessing a 100-mile radius. I said, no, we're going to have to stop our 50. I say we have a 500? We're going out to the Bahamas then and beyond. I will not be beat. I say 501 miles. Hallelujah.
Pastor.
Yes.
When Christy was here, Pastor Christy was here.
Yes.
He said we were going to have to expand our borders.
All right. Hallelujah. just come up before the board and I voted it in, and so hallelujah. It's great when you're the president, secretary, and treasurer, and everything all at one time. You can pass everything real quick and you don't have to have anybody's vote. Hallelujah. What? Could we do one more? Could we suffer through one more? Hallelujah. Why don't you just worship him? I glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're expanding our heart. You're expanding our literal radius. All those things, Father. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. Glorify you. Hallelujah. He said, don't neglect the gift that's in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Majesty. I just worship my majesty. Majesty, majesty, majesty. You are. You are majesty. I glorify you. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, how we love to magnify you in spirit and truth, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to steal Miss Candy's first comment. Let me help you a little in your worship. When we were worshiping, I don't know the song, but I opened up my eyes and all the hands were pointed up. And right here, I saw Jesus sitting on his throne. And he was looking down at us. He was just sitting there looking down. And I thought, he's looking at us, worshiping him.
Hallelujah.
And we continued to worship, and the worship was just growing intense. And I could feel it's just going into the throne room. And I realized that his eyes were closed and he was crying. Because we worship a humble king. And we move a humble heart by our worship. And there was such a humility in my king.
Thank you.
It shook me. Because I don't know that humility in me. I was like, we move a humble heart with our worship. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship. This humble king, I know no humility like his. And he had tears. He wasn't looking down at us. He had his eyes closed and his heart was being moved. He is worthy of our worship.
Thank you,
Jesus. I worship you, Lord.
No worship your majesty. Exalt you, Jesus. Onasa, I exalt you. Exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Matoklei. When I pour my oil, which is my anointing, upon that which is old and that which is worn, it becomes new again,
amen,
saith the Spirit of grace. For many run to and fro, and the enemy of your soul is oftentimes disguised what seems to be the best, and having you run here and there to receive. But know this, that if you'll do this, which seems to be the most simple, the least of the profound, is to worship me and provide for me an avenue where I can come. Know this, the oil of my anointing, it breaks every yoke. It breaks every yoke, and even things that you have not yet been able to describe to me. Know this, that I run out ahead of you. I run out ahead of all of you who take this opportunity to give your King what He asks of you, and that is your love, that He may love you in return. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. He can tell you this is what He wants as His humble King. See, He knows how to get over to you. The only thing He wants is that you just believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's no works in that. It's just believing His word. He said, I'll reward you for diligently seeking me. In other words, the reward is Him. If you get Him, you get it all. So if you're seeking Him, and see, here's the, I like the way Dave always says it. He says the path in is just as sovereign as the miracle itself. In other words, if you spend the time lifting Him up, see, He knows, here's the thing about my King. He is so humble that He knows this. He knows how to overcome you. You're usually wanting Him to overcome some trial. He knows how to overcome you. Because we're usually fussing in a fitful state, trying to get something over to Him. And He just really wants us to go ahead and, I'm drowning. If you'll go ahead and drown, I can go ahead. And if you'll just go ahead and die, then I can raise you back up. I'm drowning here. Oh, God, save me. Save me, save me. They usually say you just about have to let them go ahead and drown, because they'll drown you too. So I'm drowning. Yeah, I'll just wait 5 more minutes and go ahead and let you realize that it's going to be me or nothing. And then when you realize it's just me and me alone, then I can raise you up out of the dust. Hallelujah. And I can cause you to soar with eagles. Hallelujah. So go ahead and drown. Go ahead and lose your hope, and I'll give you my hope. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do majesty one time, and then we'll quit. Maybe we'll quit. I don't know. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you.
Majestic King.
I love you, Lord. I glorify you. What He wanted to do, Matt, if you can get these. Hallelujah. Thank you for that presence, Father. So what I heard Him say was He wanted to show you another part of Him. And Candy started saying something from the very beginning. It's slow. I have to go slow right now. This won't take long. But she was saying something about the imagination. And then Maria began to speak about what she saw and who was sitting there as a humble King receiving. Now He wants to say something about who He is as your high priest of your profession. You can, King James says profession. It's a confession. So I saw Him also seated. So let's just turn to 2 Corinthians 10. For just a few minutes. You need to go out of here thoroughly equipped. And that's the way you're going to go. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 3. Would you stretch your faith this way? Pray for me. Father, I thank you. Let's exhale. Oh, thank you for that. Wachete flambrose die ho. Monsto fre chiminda. Bedestate. My words, they are quick and they are powerful. And they are sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, marrow, discerner of thoughts, intents of heart. Know this, receive my word and live. Receive my word and live. Cause those things of the spirit wherein you worship me to come forth. Come forth as part of your life in the confession of your mouth and the praise of your heart. Know this, that as a reigning king, I will perform these things in the days ahead. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. That is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That is good. So I said stretch, but you stretched and he did, and it's over. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, just brief synopsis, I wouldn't be following the teacher or trying to give you everything I could, just a brief background. What we're going to preach here mostly is fruit because it comes out of a good root. The root is this, is Paul the Apostle. If you read 2 Corinthians, by the time you get to the 10th chapter, he's talking about his apostleship and the ability to teach sound doctrine. And really what he's saying about casting down imaginations and the warfare that he's exerting is this. He says, the power that we have, that we can go into a region of darkness and we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter if it's saturated with Judaism, it doesn't matter if it's saturated with Gnosticism, it doesn't matter if it's saturated with any other foul kind of doctrine, it has the power. It has the power to cast down idol worship, Buddhism, Hinduism. It has the power to cast down every kind of exalted teaching and imagination. Now, where does that come to us as the believer? To us particularly? This is what Paul says by the Holy Ghost. He says, this warfare that we're in, it is not carnal. In other words, you cannot win through the natural, through the mind. You cannot win through wishful thinking, but this you can win by the power of the Word of God. Know this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to doing what? Pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. What is a stronghold? It tells you right there by definition, the verse explains itself. A stronghold is an imagination. It is imagination that has come to a place where it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? Well, Pastor, I can give you my opinion on that. It's not asking for your opinion. This you hold in your hand is the knowledge of God. It is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I believe that you are. We tried this a couple of weeks ago. We didn't just try it. But I know how powerful and how much you need it because I knew the resistance I had that day with it. When the Word says something and three sentences later, you realize you're trying to figure out who you might see at Lozano's during what's being preached, there is a satanic attack against your mind. And I'm serious because he's wanting to stop the Word of God from penetrating far past the soulish realm into a place where it really actually can be lived out in power and authority. Hallelujah. And he says here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the word of God. And it does what? When you enter into it, it has the capacity to bring every thought. Now, imaginations empowered, it's not a stronghold, it's not just a thought. It's a thought empowered by a system of thoughts that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And more so, better said, it's this. It's thoughts with emotions. It's not just a thought, but when a thought is empowered by an emotion, it gets momentum with it. And it begins to want to argue against the Word of God. Now, I saw this in my spirit this morning. I saw it earlier, but I saw it again. Now, here's your exalted king. We could go to Hebrews and talk about that. And that's a good place to find him exalted. He's exalted at the right hand. He's the one, the high priest of your profession, your confession. He's in a place. Maria saw him as an exalted king that was weeping with us. Candy was talking about how that we can imagine that place. Now he says here that there is a warfare that is constantly coming against your mind to make you believe something that is not real, that exalts itself. It's an argument. It's a system of thought. No matter, once you get born again, that system of thought is now, it has something that will impede it, which is the new nature and your love for the Word of God. But believe me, because you're living in this world and this world is surrounding you and it's swirling around you and it wants to put its dross out on you. It wants to put its scourge out on you. And you have a body that wants to try to remind you that you're not capable of living in that realm where everything that you say will come to pass. If you believe what Jesus said, that everything that you say authoritatively in the Spirit will come to pass, you'd put on your running shoes and do about 50 laps around this church before the service was over. Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't listen to you. I got to get into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I tried to pass. Oh, by the way, you were looking at second place in 50 to 55-year-olds. Hallelujah. Where's Pablo? I did good yesterday, Pablo. I did one of my best races ever. But I will tell you this, what inspires me. After a mile, I did the first mile just a little over 8, which is pretty good for a 220-pound guy. So I'm running. But after I get past the first mile, there's this beautiful, she's only about this tall, little Mexican girl with braided hair. And I couldn't pass her for the next half a mile. And every time I'd get next to her, and she was only up to my waist, one time she pumped her chest and whoosh, took off. I said, no, Jesus' name, you're not going to do this. I got past her about a mile and a half. And the guy that carried me in, though, that I got alongside and carried me in, I told him about the end. I said, man, I couldn't have made it, you know. And he was 71 years old. Hey, don't. I can tell you, there was another guy, 79. You guys can't outrun them. They're runners. That tells you there's a place to go. Hallelujah. But he carried me in. And anyway, where was I at? Before I started bragging on myself. There was more. There was 253 people. Isn't that something? No, there was more than two. 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 Actually, there was 253 people, and I was 60. Now, this makes me feel good because there's a lot of college runners, high school runners. I was 67 out of 253. That's not bad. That's not bad for an old guy. Hallelujah. All right, where was I at? Boy, I love doing that. Travis, is there anything else I can think? Casting down. Cast it down, Pastor. Cast it down. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the Word of God. and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your King and High Priest, I want you to understand this. We don't have time to go there this morning, but in Luke, he talks about people that he gave out his pound. He gave out his provision. He gave out his gift. Ten of his stewards. And he comes back after a season. He finds that one has been faithful, and it's gained him 10 talents. The five that he gave five more. Two turned into four. One guy says, I knew that you were an austere man, meaning you were a hard man. Now, Jesus isn't hard, but what he was saying is, I perceived you to be this based on the imagination of my heart. And here's what the righteous ruler said at the end of the thing. He said, look, out of your own mouth have you judged yourself. Because you did not know my heart, and you did not know that I said unto these, since you've been faithful over five, receive 10. And another place he says, receive 10 cities. In other words, what you do for God equates to this. It doesn't. What God's heart is people. He gives you authority over people's lives. Not to rule over them, but to reign with them. And this guy, at the end of the day, he couldn't see his king's heart. And because he couldn't see his king's heart, his basic feeling was this: what's in it for me? And I can't see what's in it for me. You just told me, invest my life to you. I can't see how that's really going to profit me. So, the king, this ruler said, look, you could at least put my talent in the bank. You could have made a deposit and gained interest. You didn't even have to go out and invest it. He said, take that from him and give to him. He said, but out of your own mouth, you've testified against yourself. Because you don't know me, and you've all said, what's in it for me? But if you'd have known me, you'd have known this. I had something so glorious prepared for you. That if you could have just realized the joy of the Lord. The first joy is this: get to know me. And once you get to know me, everything proceeds out of that. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, a few weeks ago, and I just got to read some of them to you again because they're so powerful. Almighty God said this, and I got to go back to it. Almighty God said this. Everybody say this. Almighty God said this. And I'll read it to you. Hallelujah. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, love life, shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. Now, if once you get that you can change your world. See, this is going back. I didn't even know you guys were going to be here. I used to call these guys the Baldwin sisters. This is my aunt. Hey, Kenny, we're glad to see you. We've been praying for you. How many of you glad to see Kenny? Hallelujah. These two drug us to every Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin meeting we could get to when we were little. In a so many mile radius, or they filled our house with it. And that's what they taught. And I don't care how far we go on up into the understanding of who he is, he's always metamorphosizing our understanding. We're always going to another level, but you never ever throw away the beginning to get to someplace else. If a nuclear physicist says, you know what, I'm launching things into space now, I really don't need 2 plus 2 equals 4. Take that out of him. He's a babbling idiot. Now bring me back from space. I don't know how. Thank you, ladies. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. This is the part that I saw in the Spirit. This adds everything to what they were saying. Your exalted King, he is part of who he is as the Lion, the Lamb, and the one who has provided for you. He receives your worship with humility, but he cannot receive false humility. He can't receive it. Well, what's false humility? Let me see if I can do this. He's there. I'm here. Let's see. What else do I need as a prop? I need a good bag of sackcloth. I need a good... The bag is the sackcloth. Here's the ashes. You'd have to know some Old Testament history. Now see, all that's done in my heart. My heart is a recompense to him by humility. But when you get before your King and you're going to confess what he's done for you, and you understand that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, you understand that you're going before somebody that's already went before you, and you go here in this demeanor, now this is what you don't want to do. Jesus! Now the first thing most people, not all people, but I can tell you this. Do you ever hear, and we've all done it, talk to God in a prayer for 10 minutes, 15, and just tell him what he already knows? That's praying, but he knows that. Get to something he can latch hold of. Like what? Like his word. Get to something like he can latch hold, like exalted worship and praise. When you just sit there and say, "Now, you know, God, they diagnosed me with it, and she said, and he said," and he knows all that. That's all for you. If you need that catharsis, go ahead and do it, but get to some real prayer after a while. Because when you get here, and I'll watch my mic next time. Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I'm hurting so bad. Oh, Lord. My body's hurting me. It won't go away, Jesus. Make it stop. Make it stop. My marriage is on the rocks. Oh, Jesus, we're not getting along. And you know she's the meanest thing that's ever been. Oh, Jesus, he won't come along with me on this walk. Jesus, he won't. Jesus, I need a better job. Please, please, I need a job. Please, 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 please. Jesus, Jesus, why don't you talk to me, please? Please, Jesus, please, 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 please. Now he's crying, like Maria said at that point. But a different cry. And he's waiting. What do you say, Jesus? Would you hush? Sir? Would you hush? I love you. but would you just hush? Now what I want you to do is I want you to take a good long look at these hands. I want you to look real hard into these scars. And I'm sure he doesn't have 11D ostrich skin boots on. So you can look and he can tell you, just look real long. Look real long into these nail prints. Because you don't have to beg anymore. In fact, son, what you need to do is do what the Word says, and you need to come on up here. Get up. You need to come. Well, I need another chair, don't I? Hallelujah. You need to quit begging. And you need to come sit right here. Just come sit right here. So I'm down here. Okay, you want me? Yeah, come on up here and stop all that. Okay. Stop it. Just stop it. Yeah. Sometimes you have to tell you this. You stop it and stop getting somebody to help you cry like that too. You stop being a crybaby, but stop calling them, because when the two of you get together, or the three of you get together, all I hear is, wah, wah, wah. Now, son, yes, sir. Take your pull-ups off. Yes, sir. Now, he might not talk to none of you beautiful ladies like this, but yes, sir. Take them off and put your big boy pants on. You say, Pastor, you don't. No, I have garbage bag loads of them that I've taken to the. I used to wear pull-ups, that way I could use the disposable ones. Thank God for a good wife. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. I've heard her voice somewhere in the room say to me before, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. And I had to go get under the blood and say later, thank you for the rebuke. Thank you. See, the Bible says open rebuke, and it's not talking about me calling you out in church. We ain't going to do none of that. But open rebuke, that is between you and your companion or you and your friend. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen. Me telling you the Word is better than me saying, I don't know why you ain't got your answer yet. I just don't know why either. I'm starting to question God myself when you tell me your testimony. Now get up, son. All right. You got your big boy pants on? Yes, sir. Okay, well, come up here. Sit down next to me. Okay. Now, see, when you sit down next to him, he's going to ask you, where are we going with this? Where are we going with this? Well, Jesus, I mean, you're Jesus, you're Lord. I mean, you fix it. You know, do what you do, you know. Do what you do. Get her done. Get her done. Get real close, Terry. No, son, here's the deal. Just because I'm here, you're here, that hasn't changed who I am. Just because I'm in heaven. See, when you read about me in the gospel, everybody that came before me, when the blind would come and the lame would come, I would ask them, what do you want? Because it's still up to you. It's still up to you. So you got to tell me where we're going with this. See, here's what you got to understand. he said all, and this is what he'd tell you, and this is what he'd tell me, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's what he said at the end of the life. Now he said, he turned right around, he said, now you go. You do it. Whatever you say. See, and here's the vernacular of it, and this, but it really breaks down like this. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Do you know what it says? It says, whatever you allow will be allowed, and whatever you disallow will be disallowed. Well, I don't like it. Well, then just, where do you want me to go with this? Kenneth Hagin said one time he had an open vision. Jesus walked into the room. Jesus was sitting there talking to him, and a devil, a yammering devil, showed up. And Jesus was talking to him about something about the church and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to get. And he said this devil was off to the side, and he noticed it. Kenneth, Pastor Hagin, Dad Hagin, saw him off to the side, and he kept looking at him, and he was amazed that Jesus would let him. See, I hope y'all understand this. The devil come to church with you. There is no sanctuary. While you're in your worship closet, the devil will try to walk in there. He showed up in heaven. You don't think he won't try to show up in your worship closet? But you got to understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. He saw this devil, and every time Jesus would start to say something, this Jesus would say, and this devil would go, he was yammering. And Jesus would try to, and Jesus was having to talk over him, and the thing was going, you know, like the Charlie Brown creatures, wah, 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 wah. He said, I sit there trying to hear Jesus for the longest time, and I could not understand why Jesus would not do something about it. He said, out of pure frustration and anger, I said, in Jesus' name, get out of here. He said, that thing left. It was gone. It just went right through the wall. Now he's sitting there and everything's clear, quiet, and still. He said, Jesus, I got to ask you something. Why? Why did you let that thing sit there for the last 10 minutes or however long? And no, actually, I forgot one part of it. As soon as it went through the wall, Jesus said, thank you. Thank you. And he said, thank you. He said, yeah, that thing was aggravating. He said, well, Jesus, why didn't you do something about it? He said, because I was waiting for you to do something about it. He said, son, you got to understand, I got all the power, but I gave you the authority. You got the authority because you live on planet Earth. And whatever you allow is going to be allowed. Jesus, you are my high priest. I call my body whole. See, there's two different confessions. There's a confession. You need to keep both of them up. There's a defensive and an offensive. The defensive is you don't say anything negative when it's addressed. How you doing? Well, I don't want to lie. Well, then put the Word of God in there. Just say what the Word of God say, and they'll know you're still in a fight, but you don't have to explain it. I say that with His stripes, I'm healed. How's your finances? I say the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. You don't have to explain the fight. They know by just the confession of your mouth that you're in a fight, but you're winning. That's the defensive. But that won't win when you're in a major strategic, the devil's coming in to beat your brains out. You can't just occasionally move your mountain just by hoping somebody's going to ask you. You may go for days before somebody says, how you doing? And you get to confess that. That's one confession. The private confession that you can go before Him, square your shoulders and stop whimpering, and then come up here and say, okay, I'm going to confess right here alongside of you because I'm going to tell you something. I don't need to, for 15 minutes, tell you that we need a pay raise. I don't need to sit here and tell you the diagnosis and the prognosis. I can tell you this. You bore in your body my infirmity, and with your stripes, I am healed. I say, Lord Jesus, that everything that I need for my marriage, everything I need for my home, everything, and see when he starts, and here's the thing, I've had to train myself and I'm still not there. Once you go crosswise of that, once you find yourself, you're going to have to go in past. You're going to have to find some private time riding down the road or getting in a prayer closet where you repeat those things over. Now, that's on the offensive. But once you let your mouth betray you because it's in a habit and somebody comes up and gooses you, you don't even know what you are until you get goosed. Whatever you are is not when you're, you know, here at church. We're all doing good here this morning. The Holy Ghost has saturated us. Get out there, forget about today's worship, and get in a situation and let somebody come up and goose you. Let the devil come up and goose you, and what comes out of your mouth. And I'm sick and I'm tired of them being sick and tired, and we're going broke. I'll tell you what, if you're in the presence of Mr. Obama, wherever you're at, this will break you. If you'll just say, Jesus, forgive me. I confess that's a sin. That's a sin against what I've been doing with you privately. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You'll embarrass yourself about twice like that and you'll stop doing that. Hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, when he starts moving, recognize it. Jesus, I say that I have a job and I have a good job, and I thank you, Father, that my job pays me well, and I thank you, Father, that you are the one who proceeds over this. Father, I thank you that my marriage is healed. I thank you, Father. Oh, I thank you that we're just madly in love. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that, oh, Father, that my body is... Now, see, when he starts, then you got to recognize too when he comes. Some guy said, you know what? I've been confessing over my finances that God would heal them. And dadgone it, all I keep getting is just a bunch of job offers. I don't know what. God won't do nothing. He won't give me no pay raise. All he gives is job offers. It's not the one I wanted. I love that story, that guy sitting there, you know. They said, the storm is coming. Get ready for it. And it starts raining, and it's about 2 foot in the yard, and a guy with a four-wheel drive pickup comes by, and it's halfway up on those monster mudders. Hey, buddy, it's raining. You want to get in the truck? No. I'm waiting on God, because God is my. He's promised me deliverance. All right. See ya. It gets up past the couch and you figure it's time to climb up higher on the roof. Guy comes by in his bass boat and he's not fishing, he's trying to get out too. Hey, buddy, since I see you don't have any bass boats in the yard, would you like a ride? No, I'm believing God. Your boat's not what I had in my mind how God was going to get me out of this. God's going to come in on a white horse. He's going to write me a big check. Since I quit my last job, I'm going to have a better job. It gets up to the roof, and one last ditch effort, God sends by a helicopter. Hey, buddy. Yes. We're going to send you a lifeline down to hook it around yourself, and we're going to hoist you up. No. God's coming. He's writing me a big check out of this thing. I'm going to go to the mailbox. If I can find it and swim to it. God drowns, gets to heaven. Miffed at God's, lips down. Why? Why, God? I believed you with everything inside of me. And you let me drown. Boy, I'm glad you're here. I sent three fellas to your house to get you out of it. We're fighting like cats and dogs. And all I can hear is, I ought to take her out. Somebody keeps saying, you ought to take her out sometime. Bless God, I'm the man of my house. She's supposed to cook, clean, wash them dishes and my clothes and keep my house. And you ought to tell her you love her. Well, I told her one time, if I change my mind, I'll tell her. People keep coming up and say, you know, I'll keep your kids for you if you guys want to go out for a little, like, romantic, you know. That kiss, that, you know, just one might start something. We ain't got time. You know, you can get a McDonald's Happy Meal and just watch the sun go down. Anything. We're too broke. You know, I'm just praying for my marriage. Just praying for my marriage because he don't understand me and I don't understand him anymore. The sauce has gone out of it. And every time I pray, somebody comes up and noses their business in my face, saying, you know what? We got this little thing. If you guys want to get away, we'd like to send y'all away for a weekend or keep the kids. Or I wish God would just answer my prayer, because what I've been praying is that lazy bum needs to wake up, realize who I am. Does she know who I'm married to or who she's married to? Yes, I'm married to myself. Glory to God. I ought to stop before I get to meddling. Oh, I'm hurting, Father. You know what? You don't have to be a jock to really get out there and go for it. But you know what? All that pain, by His stripes, you're healed. But you know what? It'd probably make you feel a whole lot better. And people keep telling you, hey, you know what? A mile walk in the afternoon in the cool of the day. I had about 10 years to your life. It gets your cardiovascular system going, adds oxidation to your brain. It drops your blood pressure. A whole bunch of things. Get to heaven. Lord, why? I sent people try to minister to your marriage, to your body, to your life, to your finances. But guess what? If you keep confessing, you'll wake up. Hallelujah. You'll wake up. Glory be to God. So that's our King. He wants you to know that don't cry. You can cry and worship because you're loving Him so much. But to beg him to come and do what He's already done. What He's going to do is say, look at them. You see those scars? I'm not going to do it again. That nail print right there provided you a living. Do you see that? That right there got you out of the sick bed. Do you see that? This right here, this slash in my side, this delivered you from depression. Now, when your soul doesn't believe it, if you'll come before me and confess those things that I did, after a while, your soul will believe it and you'll be transformed into it. Hallelujah. We just went way back to Faith 101 this morning, but I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I remember that rainbow. Matt had that going on this morning. I come in, I said, can I listen to it again? He goes, you weren't here to start with. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many would believe with me for God to touch our offering this morning and bless it real good? So, Father, I just thank You. I give You all the praise and all the glory. You are who You say You are. But Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I thank You that they're abundantly blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Well, this is he wanted me to remind you and say this in that prayer. Are you having a tough time in any of those areas? Well, I could tell you what, if you was a man or woman that didn't have a job, what I'd do is just pack me a sack lunch, walk right as far as the, since you weren't, you know, working anyway at that time, I'd pick that sack lunch, not literally, but literally also. I'd just pick it up and walk into the next room, the bedroom, close the door, and I'd go to work. Because your tongue will pay you dividends. I just walk, okay, I'm clocking in. His word says death and life are in the power of the tongue. I call myself. I say we are blessed. In Jesus' name. Out of this running me about $25 or $30 an hour right here, $100 an hour. I'm making money right now. Hallelujah. I say the young lions do lack in several. You know, I don't know enough scripture. We got several scripture books over there. You see us, we can hook you up. I say death and life are in the power of the tongue. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet he became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah, Jesus, I'm calling it done. Hallelujah, I'm making $100 an hour, $200 an hour. Praise God, I'm going forward. Well, I'd rather go just tinker in the yard. That tinkering in the yard ain't going to make you no money. Why don't you just go in there and just make you some? Oh, hallelujah to God. I was praying. Father, I pray that your blessing be upon all this bunch. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I speak life over them. I say they are abundantly blessed. I say that, Lord God, they're coming in and they're going out. Lord God is full of life and full of blessings, that they relax, and that, Lord God, that your peace comes upon them. And I say that in an economic time where it does not seem feasible, possible, that, Lord, they receive the best jobs. They receive the best, Lord God. And even if there's a 1-2-3-step transition into the where you have them, Lord, I pray that you'll open their eyes, that, Lord, that they'll see that what seems to be the five and dime opportunity today will turn into mega, mega tomorrow, Lord. I bless them in the name of Jesus, and I call them abundantly blessed, and I pray that every opportunity will open itself up for them and to them, Lord. I pray their hearts will run with you and run in the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that your grace is upon them. And I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Come. Alex wants to testify real quick. Yeah.
You preaching about that, it really opened my eyes. Because this morning, as I was worshiping, the presence was actually pretty strong. And I kneeled down there, and I started worshiping, giving God my all, and it just like my whole thought process just changed to like going to worries and everything else. And I tried to stand up to worship, and right when I stood up, I fell, and I went right back to worshiping. And then as I started worshiping, when I got up again, and I started praying for a bunch of people, and then right when I started doing that, that's when I noticed the thought process came and started coming again.
Hallelujah.
And then usually when I start getting interrupted while praying, I try to start praying in tongue. So I started trying to pray in tongue, but nothing would come out but words, actual words that I know. So when I started doing that, I started saying, in Jesus' name, I rebuke Satan out my home. In Jesus' name, I rebuke him in the church. And I start praying over a revival. And then I start noticing all that left. And then I start worshiping calm. And I just started getting in there with God. And it does work. And even for me now, the way things going in my life is I prayed into existence. And I kept saying, these things going to happen.
Hallelujah.
And I'm like, Jesus died for a reason, and what's the point of begging and stuff?
Hallelujah. And glory to God. Man, lose my job. What are you trying to do, boy? He's got the Immokalee record for in the 5K, or you did have, right? See, what I'm going to do is I'm going next time, and I'm going to sign up. I'm going to switch bib numbers with you. And I'll come in here number one next time. Hallelujah. All right, if you will stand. You are blessed. You are blessed. Amen. Whenever you get ready, fellowship. We didn't have any time of fellowship.